It was this one. It's good to be back and hear what God's doing and getting reports all around of the things that God's doing. And even on maintenance days, you know, if revival breaks out in its fullness, we've got to get used to maintenance days. Because, you know, you've got to be practical on stuff. Because, you know, I used to think when the first time I went to Toronto with Alan Bell, one of my questions was, in seeing all the people there, was the toilet roll bill must be very expensive. And, you know, and somebody's got to replace them and clean up and keep the building spick and span and do all those sort of things. And sometimes, you know, I actually, so I'm giving you a plug here, Harold. You see, sometimes I think God gives us a little test and says, can I trust you with it while it's at this size? Because if you can't handle it now, then you're never going to handle it when it's that big. You see? And we've got to get ready. You know, you can't do the marathon without learning to do the 100 yards first. So you've got to get prepared for it. But God is doing stuff all around, you know. It's been fascinating to see the stuff that's been going on in Florida. And, you know, that's been hitting headlines. And you know, somebody asked me this week, do you really think it's a move of God? And I says, well, it must be, because when I've been doing internet searches, there's a lot of critics. So it's got to be of God. Because the minute they start coming out having a go, you know, and it's usually people whose theme tune that they must wake up to in the morning is Groucho Marx singing whatever it is, I'm against it. So you just know it's of God. And plus, you know, some of the miracles that we've been seeing in the area around us with some of the meetings that have gone on from people who have having been down there and been carrying it. It's been fascinating. But also, this last week I've been doing a kids mission with Middleton Parish Church. And I've been doing that for a number of years, which is the reason that I flew over. Because I promised them that I would come back and help them with it. And I remember many years ago that the only activity in the parish church was when me and my brothers used to go in the days when the doors were always left open, not like now. And the only activity that took place was us swinging on the bell ropes, you know, for a bit of fun and legging it before the vicar could catch us. And in those days, it was, I mean, I don't look the sort of guy who could have done that sort of thing, but I only did it on one or two occasions per week. And the church in those days was very liberal, you know, it was just the parish church. But the vicar who's there, and he's been there for a number of years now, you know, is filled with the Holy Spirit. And he was telling me that just a few weeks ago, they had a confirmation service. He says, and, you know, and it's just part of their ceremony, and they're going through it, and it's kids that have come through the kids club. And he says, it was amazing, because as the bishop's laying hands, doing the quick, you know, receive the Holy Spirit, you know, it's like a conveyor belt, in it, you know, can receive them. He says, the Holy Spirit showed up. And he zapped some of these kids, and they're like, whoa, what was that? What was that? You know, that got me, you know. And I think God's doing this element of surprise all the time at the moment, catching people. And I think that with what he's doing at the moment, he's actually getting us ready to move into something that is going to be getting things ready before he returns. That's why I want to speak to you this morning about mission with it, because it's one thing to have signs and wonders and miracles and great things happening, but if all it does is, if it entertains the church and blesses the saints but doesn't impact the world, we've missed the plot. You know, we're well wide of the purposes that God has, because what God wants is to reach the world through a demonstration of his power. And I'm really convinced that with the things that I'm seeing happening now, it's almost like God's saying, hello, I'm still on the throne, I'm still in action, I've not grown tired or old, but I'm still demonstrating my power for all who will dare to believe. And God does some strange things. You know, if only we'll take the chance. And that's why I think we need to realise that we've got to get what we've got into the marketplace and let people know about it. Like last Saturday we were in Bury and Helen was getting some money out of a hole in the wall, and I was just stood there as the dutiful dad. And I noticed the street cleaner came by, and he was well laden with all these bin bags on as he'd been doing his Saturday rounds. And I just said a few words to him, pleasantries, and he walked off. And as soon as he walked off, God gave me a word for him. So the next minute, Helen's saying to me, Dad, what are you doing? I said, I'll be back in a minute, and I'm off after this street cleaner. And just delivered this word to him, and he's like looking at me, as I said, and this is what God says to you, mate. And he's like, cheers for that, mate, cheers. And I'm thinking, you know, street cleaner with his brush, And he's like looking at me as I walk away, thinking, who was that mass man, they say? You know? Yeah, but I'm really convinced that God wants to get what we've got out there to impact people. You see, we all know that famous passage that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. A guy at my brother's church was in, cycled into Manchester, and he watched a guy who was preaching on the streets, and he cycled in, so he's got the Dayglo orange top on, you see, and his helmet. So he sees a street preacher, so he gets a bit closer, thinks, I'll go and see what he's doing. So he gets a bit closer, and all he can hear is this guy going, you're going to burn, you're going to hell, you're a filthy sinner, and coming out with all this. So this friend of ours, he walks a bit closer, and he's listening to this guy, and because he's in this bright top, other people start coming around wondering what's going on. So he's a very timid guy. And last week we prayed for him at a meeting that he would have boldness, and he certainly got it. So he says to this street preacher, hey, the gospel of Jesus, mate, is good news. This is bad news you're preaching. People need to be given some hope. And people around him are saying, yeah, that's right, mate. You know, I'm really pigged off with my life. I could do with it. So he starts having this separate meeting while this fella's going, if you don't turn, you'll burn. And he's saying, you can know Jesus because he really loves you and God wants to be your father. And they're all looking at him going, is that right? You know, I've never heard that like that before. While this hellfire preacher's still going at it, lost the plot. And, you know, and it's good news, for God so loved the world. That isn't turn or burn. That's good news. You know, that we might believe in him. And that's what people need to know, is that there's a lifeline from heaven that we can get hold of and say, God is a God who is for me. Because I've learned this over the years, that God doesn't love me anymore. I've been a Christian now for 36 years. And God doesn't love me any more now than what he loved me 37 years ago. He loves me exactly the same. I don't understand it. Because the Bible says that while I was lost in my sin, God demonstrated his love for us in this, that while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. So I don't get any more of his love, and I've not got any less of it. It's still the same. That's the wonder of God. You see? And that's what people need to hear on the outside. And that's why I believe that John 3:16 is actually a mission mandate for us, that we would understand that being on mission is being sent to accomplish a task and represent somebody else, the one who has sent you. In fact, you know, I get an American magazine, a Christian magazine now, and one of the things that I've noticed in this, there's an abundance of people who are calling themselves apostles, prophets or bishops. And it seems it's almost a mail order thing. Oh, I think I'll be an apostle this week. You know, and some really go the full whammy on it. You know, they're apostle, prophet and bishop and pastors. You know, they've got it. They're the incarnate ones. And I don't think it's worth the paper it's written on in the end. But the apostle is one who is sent forth on a mission, like a missile, being sent out with a mandate to do something, to accomplish something that the master has sent him to do. And the pre-Christian Greeks used to use the word apostle, the sent one, to describe a cargo ship that was sent out with a load to deliver goods. I like that. Because if you start to see yourself not as an insignificant part of the body, but that what God has done has actually loaded you up and invested you with a cargo that you can go and carry into areas that are barren and stricken, then it gives us an awareness of, hey, I'm valuable in the kingdom of God. I might not be one of the so-called superstars, but God's not looking for superstars. He's looking for cargo ships that will drop the blessings of heaven to whoever needs it. You see, God's a missionary God who sends. It originates in him. It originates, mission originates in the very heart of God. Right from Genesis 3. I'm blown away by this stuff because I see that the minute man breaks God's only law or command, that he actually has mission in his heart. Because he says, you're going out of the garden. You're not going to be able to come back in it, but I'm going to send somebody after you. He's going to come and he's going to crush the serpent's head. His heel's going to be bruised. And then he gives skins to Adam and Eve and promises one will be sent to redeem them, to buy them back from under the curse. Because mission originates in the heart of God. And he never sees a task too big. So he never saw the fall of mankind and the mess on the planet too big for his son to handle. And you see, he doesn't see the problems around us as too big for you to handle. Or for the church here to handle. Because mission's on his heart. He sends angels with messages, prophets, judges, messengers. All are sent to warn and to deliver and to rescue people. For one reason, to demonstrate that God loves them. Because God never comes in with a fist. Have you noticed that? He never comes in and says, I'm going to beat you up and you're going to get what you deserve. He always comes in with a hand that's outstretched, saying, I want to lift you. So when Jesus comes, the sent one or the missioned one, he says in John chapter 4, he says, you know, doing my Father's work sustains me more than food. Because he was on a mission. He was about his Father's business. I must be about my Father's business. And I'm convinced that in the things that God wants to do, because he's not finished with us yet, that he wants to bring an awareness again that the more we can be about the things that are on the heart of God, it brings a sustaining to us, even in the face of difficulties. And tribulation. Doing my Father's work sustains me. Why? Because there's a nourishment within it. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Because there's a nourishment in doing the work of God and being about his business. And he goes on and he says, you know, he wants to finish his work. The mission of redemption. And Jesus was constantly emphasizing that he is sent, and the mandate why he is sent is simply to do the Father's will. And I want to ask you this morning, are you doing the Father's will in your life? Or are you about your business? Because if you're about your business, it's a work that will not sustain you, or nourish you, or bring you lasting purpose. But when you're about his business, even when it's tough and difficult, it sustains you because you know you're not alone. You know that he's in there with you. You know that he helps you. And that's why I'm convinced that that in John's Gospel in particular, Jesus mentions so many times that he's about his Father's business. And in chapter 5, he talks about hearing the voice of God. Chapter 5 and verse 37. He says, I have a testimony weightier than that of John for the very work that the Father has given me to finish, and that what I am doing testifies that the Father has sent me. And the Father who has sent me himself has testified concerning me. You have never heard his voice nor seen his form, but he has. Testified. You know, that's one of the reasons. One of the reasons Jesus came was to testify about the goodness of the Father. You know, one of the things that has blessed me over these past months is to understand that the root meaning of the word testimony, when you actually speak out like you've done this morning of what God has been doing, as you release the word, you're actually saying, Father, do it again, repeat the works that you have done. So when Jesus speaks out about testimony, he's saying, Father, do again the works that you have promised to do, and you did in days of old. Because we need to see more of it. So he said, I've heard the voice. And then we see the motivation of the heart of Jesus in mission was simply to please the Father. How can you get close to the Father? By doing what's on his heart. By being about his business in mission. And I believe that in the church today we need to have a re-emphasis on the mission to reach the lost. A mission of going out into the world. See, when I got saved, we were taken off to meetings. You'll remember these, John, where missionaries would come back and tell of their exploits, and we'd sit there in the wows, or the testimonies of people who'd been impacted by the gospel. You know, or I would see pictures of missionaries that were leaving to other lands, and you never knew if they were going to come back, because it would be, it wasn't as easy to get to places like it is now. There was an excitement about mission. There was an eagerness to hear the reports. But we seem to have lost the focus in the church at large on mission. Because the focus has become more on what can God do for me. And you know, if you want God to do more for you, then get about the Father's work. Because that's where you see a demonstration of the Father's blessing. And you suddenly realise, wow, God's working through me. In strange places, whether it's on the streets of Bury with street collectors. You know, the amazing thing afterwards when I thought about that is, I thought, you know, to get a word for that guy, I didn't have to sing a song through three times. I didn't have to stand there on the streets going, I worship you, Lord. And psych myself up with singing Majesty 14 times or something to get into the spirit. It just dropped in. It was just there. And I'm convinced that with mission, we've got to see that God wants us to be supernaturally natural or naturally supernatural all the time. A motivation. Not work-based, but obedience-based. Why? Because God has not changed his mind about the lost. You know, when that brother shared this morning about he wanted a hug because he'd not had a father. You know, one of the things that I'm hearing constantly all around is people crying out that what we need is fathers to a fatherless generation. Because the government seems to think that God got it wrong when he made fathers in the beginning and we don't need them anymore. But the cry of society is for fathers and for mothers, people who would care and love and comfort. Where's the world going to get them from? From the church. From a church that's healed up. Who will be about the business of carrying out the Father's desires and his command. The motivation. That was on the heart of Jesus, because he knew it was in his Father's heart, so it was in his heart. The motivation to go out and to reach the lost. And you know, somebody asked me yesterday, you know, what did I think about the revival down in Florida? Especially with the you know, that it wasn't almost typical of other ones, because, you know, Todd Bentley's covered in tattoos and everything, and it's caused a stir in some American places because they've been offended by it. And somebody asked me about, I hate tattoos, I don't like them. But I've been able to see beyond them and think, well, they didn't like too much of John the Baptist when he came. You know, eating honey and locusts and screaming in the wilderness. And then when Jesus came, they took offence at him, and he says, nobody can please you guys. You know, you get one like John the Baptist, he doesn't satisfy you because he's out there. I come and you say I'm a friend of drunkards and tax collectors and prostitutes and sinners. So what do you want? And if we're going to reach people, we've got to get beyond the offence barrier to say, hey, we've got to reach people. Now, I'm not saying that you've got to go out and get a tattoo, because I think that would be silly. But I'm saying that we've got to be willing to go out and to reach people where they are with the good news, even if it becomes an offence to us. Because I'm convinced that what God wants to sweep into the church is the hurting and the broken is going to shake up some middle class Christianity, because they're not going to be able to cope with it. But you know, the good thing in that is middle class Christianity needs a good shake up. It really does. See, the Apostle Paul, he had the same passion. He talks in Corinthians, he says, you know, I'm a man sent from God. I'm on a mission from God. He says in chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, he says, our goal is to please God. That's why we press on with that clear hunger to preach Christ on nobody else's foundation, but to let those who don't yet know that there is a God who's interested in their lives. You know, I found that's the thing that blows people apart who are not yet in Christ. The fact that God is interested in them, regardless of what they've done, or who they are. That God cares for them. What, in my state? Yeah, in your state. God breaks in. Because he's a God who breaks in. Been seeing it within my own family, my nephews and nieces. Not been walking with the Lord, but this past year, two of them have come back to Christ with a bang. One of them is going on mission. been living with a woman and they're getting married and, you know, they're sorting things out in the things of God. And I just sit back and say, wow. Why? Because what have they had? They've had a fresh encounter with the living God. And that's what the world needs to see. That they can have a fresh encounter, not with religion, but with the living God who cares and is interested with them and in them. And the only people they're going to see it from is you and me. If we've got the guts and the bottle to be able to speak to somebody else about what God wants for their lives. We need to have that passion and urgency that Jesus had and Paul had, in a clear confidence on the mission that he carried came from the Father. We must work, Jesus said, while it is still light, for the night comes when no one can work. And that same Spirit that was in Jesus is the same Holy Spirit in you. Do you realise that? The same one. Because the Holy Spirit is a missionary spirit. That's how Jesus could operate in the things that he did. In chapter 14 of John's Gospel, he said the Father sends the Holy Spirit with a purpose. What was his purpose initially? He's going to teach you and remind you of all the things that I have said. So he's going to bring it back to mind, including the bits that say, go into all the world and preach the good news, making disciples amongst all men and baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son and the Holy Spirit. And lo, I will be with you even to the very end of the age. How will he be with us even to the very end of the age when we go? What part of go don't we understand? You see, the Greek meaning of the word go means go. See? Deep. So we've got to go with the gospel. And I think it was Reinhard Bonnke who once said, he says, we need to make Jesus' last command our first concern. Back again. The Father sends the Holy Spirit with purpose. He sends him into the world to bring a conviction of guilt and righteousness and judgment. And then he says, and he will guide you. So he comes to guide you. Not only for the guidance in our daily lives, but guidance where to go. Guide you what to say. I get a lot of Christians who say, oh, I don't know what to do. Well, just tell somebody your story. Even if they reject it. You see, God hasn't asked you to notch your Bible with how many successes, but just to be a witness. Somebody said it was one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. I like that. Because it's just saying, hey, you can find an answer here. Even if it means saying, come to this meeting at Mount Chapel. You've done your bit. You've given the invitation. In Acts 2, Jesus says about the Holy Spirit, he will come to empower you to be my healers and speakers in tongues. And he doesn't, does he? He says, because when he is come, you will receive power from on high to be my witnesses. So that he gives you power. The initial work of the Holy Spirit is a power to be a witness for Jesus in mission. And as a result of that, start coming the miracles and the words of wisdom and knowledge and of power. And it's when you see people taking hold of the sheer simplicity of I'm going to be a witness for Jesus, that things start to happen. And it only happens when we become obedient to go. Because he has come. We're not on mission impossible. But it's mission possible. Do you know, one of the scriptures that God spoke into my heart about 18 months ago was that one where it says, can a nation be saved in a day? And I really chewed on that one. And I thought, can a nation be saved in a day? And you have to say, God, yeah, because with you, all things are possible. If the valley of dry bones can come back to life, it's possible. If it can save with the preaching of Jonah, the reluctant missionary, if a nation can be saved, then a nation can be saved today. Can Salford be transformed? Of course it can. Because nothing is impossible for God. Why are we not seeing nations changed? Because we're not seeing a church in obedience to the mission of going. It's what they say in Toronto. John Arnott is very candid with it. He says, you know, we've reached the world, but our neighbours don't know about it. So it's gone out, but it's not impacted locally. So they're trying to rectify that. Can it be changed in a day? Yeah. Because of the resource of heaven. It's the missionary mentality that we need to get back. And then in John chapter 20, Jesus we see is the missionary saviour who sends people. And in verse 21, he says this. He says, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. I love that verse. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. I mean, how did the Father send Jesus? Did he just say to him, well, son, you're going to be born of a virgin, you'll have 9 months in the womb, then somebody will try and kill you. Grow up, do the best that you can, amble through, but you're going to get nailed to a cross and we'll see what happens. No, he says, look, this is the plan, son. You're going to live, you're going to demonstrate the power of the kingdom of God. You're going to destroy the works of the evil one. And I love those verses in the Bible that says, it, not only in the Gospels, but in the letters where it says, and Jesus of Nazareth went about doing good and destroying the works of the evil one. I'm thinking, yes, 1-0 again. He's down and he's out because he's destroying the works of the evil one. And then Jesus comes and he says, as the Father has sent me, so I have sent you. To do what? To go about doing good, preaching good news and destroying the works of the evil one. What are the works of the evil one? Sickness and disease and decay. And the mess that we see all around us. How can we destroy it? By speaking the word of God into it. And believing that God will do something. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. And when Jesus says that, it's the implication of the promise of authority and power that Jesus walked in himself, he is making available to you. Just as Elisha said to Elijah, you know, I want a double anointing. And Elijah says, if you see me go, if you see me go, you shall have it. I think that's a promise for us, because he said to the disciples, they watched him go, and it's almost like, you can have the anointing, because you've seen me go. It's not something you've got to hunt around for, but you want to increase it. So for you and for me, he's saying, you can have the same anointing, the same power, the same authority, to be about the same mission that the Father sent me on. Preaching good news, healing the sick, raising the dead, destroying the works of the evil one. You know, the devil hates it, because he knows that if believers get a grip of that what God has said, he's on a hiding to nothing. Because if you and I suddenly start to realise and act in confidence with the awareness that I'm given an authority and a power and a mandate from heaven that I can act in, it really miffs the devil. He hates it, because he knows things are going to be changed, because there's somebody that believes in what God has said. And I believe it brings a wow factor into our lives. You know, we can sit around and we can look at the great things that are going on, and they are great things. But I don't just want to be an observer. You know, my wife won't sit next to me when I'm watching a football match, because I twitch like crazy. You know, the ball's coming across and I'm reaching for it like, and she sat there and she's got a mug of coffee, it's wobbling. You know, or my foot's flicking, you know, or the ball comes across and Tevez is sliding. I've already put it in the net, you know, because I'm quicker than him. In my dreams, you know. But it's that action involvement. You say, I'm not prepared just to sit on the sides and say, oh, God's a healing God. God's a miracle working God. I'm saying, God, I want a piece of the cake. I want some of the action. I want to be involved in it. And our main aim, I believe, should be to find out what God's doing in the world and align ourselves to his plan. Because, do you know something, folks? That with the excitement that Florida's causing, why shouldn't Mount Chapel be an outpouring in the northwest of what's happening in Florida? Why shouldn't it be? Yeah, now some of you will think in your mind, but it's Salford. Yeah. But that was Toronto, and that was Brownsville, and you know, and that's just a small part that nobody had heard of till Todd Bentley went. So why shouldn't God do something here? Yeah, I really believe he could. If there's a hunger and a thirst and a desire. That's why I'm thrilled that you're having these meetings and saying, hey, we're going to press in what God has given us, rather than just relying on an outside speaker. Because what that's saying is, Holy Spirit, we're dependent upon you, not on a man. Now, a man can bring in an anointing, and we believe that, and we know that. But you know, there's nothing like saying, God, without what's in heaven, we want on earth here, that it will affect the community around. And the more we press in and say, God, I want that, I believe that heaven smiles with favour. I think you'll come into a time of favour with it here. That as you set your face to press in, I believe the Father's face of favour will come upon you. You see, when Jesus spoke about sending, I believe there's three aspects. And one of it, the sending and the going, it reveals the Father's will. That Father is for people. See, I found that God heals people even before they get saved. Have you noticed that? He just breaks in. What's he doing? He's saying, I'm for you. I'm not holding anything against you. Because I love you. I believe the sending also reveals the Father's truth. That there is a way. That people are sick and tired of religion. In fact, you know, the vicar in Middleton, he said to me the other day, he said, Paul, he said, I've come to an awareness as I look around the Middleton area. More and more of the words of Jesus, he says, they are like sheep without a shepherd. You know, and if you read the report of what one of the archbishops spoke, or one of the bishops spoke the other day in the press, about the state of society, you see it again. People, sheep without a shepherd. And what does our going do? It reveals the Father's truth. And it also enables us to do the Father's deeds. You know, in a world where we're seeing a lot of interest in the green factor and people and pets, we need to understand that God's more interested in people than he is in the planet. And he is in pets. Because he died to save people from a lost eternity. People are more interested in pets. My brother had somebody come into the church the other day, and this woman was one of these... Oh, how can I use my words carefully? Well, she was one of these who was accusing him of being a murderer because he liked meat. And she said that if there was an animal or a child in the road and there was a bus coming, she would save the animal before the child. That sort of mentality. And you get that in people's lives, but God is more interested in people than anything else on this planet. People get things the wrong way around. I read just a few months ago that in England, before Christmas, people spent £400 million on presents for their pets. This is what Santa has brought you, Fodo. I mean, I don't even believe in Santa, so why should the dog, you know? £400 million. And then they said that there's over 5 million cats and dogs that are overweight. It was a whole new meaning to a fat cat, doesn't it? Why? Because they pampered pets all the time. What people will give the money to because of their love and devotion. And how much do we give in times or funds to the mission that God has laid before us? To reach the world with the good news of Jesus Christ. Because the only answer to the mess in people's lives is coming to a saving awareness that Jesus died for them. That they can be forgiven and have their lives changed. As we pray into it, to believe that we can make a difference. That we can be men and women who go about doing good and destroying the works of the evil one. Because of the power of God within us. I believe that is the finest thing that we can give our time and our energy and even our lives towards. That doesn't mean that we all have to become missionaries to go overseas or all full-time workers, but we need to understand that we are all full-time workers. And to actually to see that our school or college, the office,
when we're out shopping, our place of work. These are all our mission fields. And if in those places where we hear people saying, oh, I'm sick and tired of this, that you can offer to pray. Be daring. Ask God for a spirit of daring for this week, that you would allow the light of the hope of the gospel within you to break forth and to begin to touch people's lives. And Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 5. We are Christ's ambassadors. It is as if Christ himself makes his appeal to you through us. And I believe that God, one of the things that God wants more and more is that within the church, that our capacity to believe God for an increase in the mission field needs to be enlarged. That we need to see again the lost world through the eyes of God, who loves so much that he gave his only son. We need to see it through his eyes and with his compassion, so that we're lined up and saying, God, what do you want me to do so that Salford can be transformed? And I believe as there's a heart after God in that way, that God answers it, because it's a cry that says, Father, I want to be about your business, because my meat is to do the will of him who has saved me and called me by name. There is hope for the future. The devil hasn't got the winning hand, because the church has got it. We just need to know how to play our cards right. And to say, God, I'm going to be part of that, what you're doing. I'm not going to be an observer. I'm going to be a participator. And I'm going to allow you to mission through me, that the world would be changed. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Let's pray together. Father, we bless you. And we thank you that you have not treated us as our sin deserves. And we thank you, Father, that just as you have loved us and have saved us and have cleansed us and brought us into the kingdom of the Son that you love, you've not brought us in just for us just to enjoy the benefits, but you've called us to be co-heirs and to be co-workers, labourers in the kingdom of God. And I pray, Father, that with the good things that you're doing here at this moment in time, and the good things, the greater things that you're going to do in the days to come, then Father, I pray that there would be an increase of compassion that would burn for those who don't yet know you, those who need to have a hug, because all they've ever had has been a slap and abuse. But they need to know the love to encounter the power of God. Let the arms here, Lord, be the arms that will provide that hug, that embrace. Let the words in mouths here be the words that would bring words of eternal life, that would set captives free, that would heal the sick and deliver the oppressed. Lord, let there be, through what you're doing, let there be a rebirth of an urgency of the mission of heaven, so that a city could be saved even in a day. And I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, for a visitation that you would come like a flood in this place. I pray even tomorrow night, Lord, at that gathering, that there would be an outpouring like a flood from heaven that has not been experienced before, because you are pleased with hearts and lives aligning with your purposes and plans to reveal your nature on earth. So, Lord, would you open up the floodgates of heaven and do something that men and women would see God is in the place. And let it be an attraction, Lord, that even people who have not even thought of coming would come, because they felt a compulsion by the Holy Spirit to come and to encounter the presence of God. So we thank you, Father, that you give us the privilege of being men and women who can align ourselves with your call and purposes. Use us, Lord, and be glorified. And as we sang earlier, Lord, send the fire, because it's the fire that we need, the fire of heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.